Oh, my Lord. We cannot take one day for granted, saints. Not one day for granted. Because none of us are guaranteed. I need some help with some tissue, you guys. I'm looking around. So none of us can take it for granted. Thanks a lot. Oh, do you? Oh, look. That's the Adamian up here. Right in my face. I couldn't see him. So, saints, what is the title of today's message? You're in a new situation. Praise God, saints. And we are in this current sermon series called It's Game Time. And we talked a couple weeks ago about, is this year better than it was 10 years ago? And then Pastor T continued us along talking about helping us to work on a winning season, because we don't want to be losers in this game called life. We want to be winners. Pastor Rick gave us a sermon last week, taught us about calling that audible. Remember that? It was a great sermon to help us to know that we have choices and change. And today I'm going to continue us on, and we're going to talk about what happens when we get traded. What happens when we're in a new situation that we did not expect to be in? You know, saints, I have a big sports confession. You probably don't know, but sports is a real challenge for me. I'm not the sports type. I didn't play soccer, I didn't play basketball, I didn't play football, and I still definitely don't understand most of it today. Sports for me is real hard to keep up with. When Pastor Rick was talking last week and he was talking about the green 21 and the red 89 and the 4, I was like, whoa, what is that? I had no idea, and definitely I was so thankful when he broke down that word audible. Because I thought audible was like you hear something, you know, audible sounds. Didn't know that audible meant that it was time to make a new change. It was time to call for a new play. But that's what he explained to us. But I have to confess that sports have always been difficult for me. You know, when I think about basketball, I'm still stuck on the players from the 80s and the 90s. How many of us know Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird? We good, Kareem, we good on those. But ask more than LeBron and Kobe Bryant and I'm stuck. I really don't know their names. But it seems, saints, that there are so many new players and the players are always moving from team to team to think to team. And if there's one thing about sports that we can all see and all recognize is that most team sports, the players will eventually get traded. I didn't even know that some athletes are so high and mighty on the list and they're so fantastic that they can write in their clause they don't want to get traded. Kobe Bryant has that in his contract, I don't want to get traded from the Lakers. But I bet you, saints, if Kobe Bryant was to start playing bad, he would get traded. So all of the players have this chance of being traded, saints. That means an exchange where they are going from team A to team B, and they are in a new situation. Whenever a player gets traded, they ask some questions, saints. They ask some questions. They can say, is this a better situation than I was in before, or is this a worse situation than I was in before? Because sometimes when a player gets traded, they can trade up. They can actually go to a better situation. Some of you old school people, and I'm not calling you old, I'm just saying you old school, okay? You remember the story of Moses Malone, right? Moses Malone used to be a player on the Sixers. And when he was on the Sixers, he was doing real good. He was getting all those MVP awards. He was smooth sailing. Well, then they decided to trade him, and it wasn't his choice. But when he went, he got traded to the LA Lakers, saints. It was a trade up for Moses Malone, and he went on to set records and win NBA championships, and some of his records are still unbroken, amen? Yeah. So here it is, we have a situation of saying, the question is, did my situation get worse or did it get better? Yeah. You also can ask the question, did I have control over the trade, or did I not have any control over the trade? You see, say, sometimes a player makes the decision to get traded. Whether they know it or not, they can make the decision by their good behavior or their bad behavior. You see, Moses Malone, when he was on that team, he was a little uppity. He had a bad attitude. He didn't get along well with his teammates, and they really didn't like him all that well. So when they decided to trade him, it was a good opportunity for them, saints. And Moses could have looked like, this is not going to be good for me, because he was doing well on the Sixers. And when they told him to go to the L.A. Lakers, he could have looked like, well, I really don't want to be on that team over there. Saints, he almost, in a sense, did not have control because he wanted to work, amen. Some of us, we want a job, right? So we work, and we might not have control of the situation that we're in, but we know we have to do this because we want to eat. The other question that players may ask of themselves is, did I deserve this trade? Did I deserve this trade? You see, sometimes we think, this is not fair. Why am I in this situation? I didn't do anything to deserve this, did I? And then on the other hand, we can also think, wow, how did I get all of this? When we get traded up, we think, wow, I really didn't do much to deserve this, but I got it, didn't I? And then when we get traded down, we think, oh, how did I get in this bad situation? The situation is, however the player got traded, however, whatever the circumstances were, we know that a trade occurred, right? We know that there was an exchange, and you can never go back to what it used to be. Can never go back, saints. You know, I was working with a lady, and she was very sick, and she said, I just want to go back to my life and the way things used to be. And it was real hard for me to say to her, you can't go back. None of us can go back, amen? All of us are in new situations right now. Some of our situations are what we expected them to be, and some of our situations are not. How many of us, if we could, would go back to being 21? Look, Pastor T says she wouldn't. Now, I wonder if all of us that put our hands up at 21, was those the good days? We was getting our party on. Why would we go back, saints? Many of us want to go back because we have the health and the stamina that we don't necessarily have now. Some of us don't want to go back to 21. Maybe we want to go back to our 30s or our 40s or our 50s, saints. But maybe we just want to go back. But all of us are headed in the same one direction. We cannot go back. We are in completely new situations, amen. And you know, saints, I realize that trading doesn't just occur in games. Trading occurs throughout all of our lives. Every single one of us have experienced a trade. Every single one of us. Let me give us some examples. Anyone ever been, and I'm going to try to say this real nicely, anyone ever been let go, dumped? Somebody left you. I was wondering when y'all was going to start putting your hands up. Anyone ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend come and tell you, baby, it's not you, it's me. It's just not working. I found somebody new. And maybe they don't even tell you that they found somebody new. It's just maybe 2 weeks later, you figured out you've been traded. You heard it through the grapevine. Or maybe you might have been the one that was dumping somebody else. Anybody in here? Now, I know some people did some dumping around here. Maybe you was the one that walked in the room and said, baby, things ain't gonna make it. And you traded that person for a completely new, different relationship. Maybe those of us that are married, sometimes we can feel that somewhere along the way, our wife or our husband got traded. And we look like, what happened to you? What was the man I married? What was the woman I married? You need to go back outside and find my true husband. But trading occurs in relationships. Trading also occurs in jobs. Ever got fired, anybody?
Yeah.
Okay, am I the only one that got fired? I still remember the first, second, and third time that I got fired. It took me a while. I got fired quite a bit of times. But they realized that something was missing and I wasn't doing the work right, and they traded me for a new employee. Any of you, maybe you didn't get fired, but you quit from a company, and you traded that company in for a brand new company. You know, I thought about sometimes even our finances can feel traded. Some of us went from being broke, so broke, and broker than broke, and then we got a little wealth. And it was different, a different lifestyle. Some of us went from having a lot of wealth to being broke. That was pretty hard if you had to go that direction. But in each situation, those questions come back, and we can say, is this a better trade? Did I trade up? Or is this a worse trade? Was this trade in my control, or was this something that I could not control? And then again, did I deserve this, or didn't I deserve it? You know, saints, sometimes, though, when we ask all of these questions, we can get stuck. We can get stuck right in asking those questions. We can stay forever. Why me? Why is this happening to me? How did I cause this? Why did you do this to me, saints? Or we can realize we are in a new situation. Yeah. We've been traded. Yeah. There's no reason to run around asking all these questions. Why? And to face the fact that we have some new options in front of us. Some new options. You see, every single one of us, every player, whether you get traded or not traded, you always have options. You always have choices. You know that? Let's look at what our options are. Number one, pretending. You know, we can pretend that nothing has changed. We can just keep acting like everything is still the same. What would it be like if LeBron James got traded back to Cleveland? It wouldn't be good for him, no, Pastor D. He probably be like, you know what, I'm going to keep wearing my Miami Heat uniform anyway. I'm going to keep wearing this Miami Heat uniform, and I'm going to keep looking like a Miami Heat player. I'm going to put the Miami Heat hat on. And all of us would be looking at him like, LeBron, do you know where you are? Would you please put your Cleveland outfit on? Stop pretending. But sometimes that's what we do, saints. We pretend. We realize we are in a new situation, but we pretend, we keep turning our back on that situation and pretending that we are still the same old players. Then you hear those, the player from the Himalaya. Because he old school, he don't want to give up that past life, that past situation, and face the fact that he's in a new situation. Praise God, saints. So we can face it with pretending. We can face it with complaining and being negative. We can be bitter and angry and say, please, 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 please let me stay in this situation that I'm in. Yeah. Many of us have been in relationships. Have you? Okay, I got to confess again. I've been the beggar in the relationships and said, please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. I can't live without you. I know some of y'all did that too. When we've been in relationships or had jobs and we just didn't want to give up, we didn't want to let it go, and we're begging, please don't let me go. And then when we realize our pleases don't work, we start getting angry and say, well, you know what? I'm not going to move on. I'm just going to stalk you for the rest of your life. We get angry and we start trying to make that person's life miserable, amen? Or they start trying to make our life miserable, amen? So we have those options. We can pretend, we can complain and become negative spirits, or tell your neighbor, or we can do what Pastor Rick taught us last week, call that audible. Call that audible. You see, our first decision comes when we know that we have the decision, that we have the choice. That we have the choice to say, I can face this new situation, or I can stand here complaining, whining, and crying about something that I cannot change in my life. You see, saints, what the audible teaches us is that, and what we as the pastoral staff have been trying to bring to you from God, is that we have choices. We all have choices. We have the God-given ability to make decisions that can totally change the play of any game. And you see, what the audible teaches us that in any of our lives, in any situations, we have choices. And the choices begin with the question, not why am I in this situation, but what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Am I going to pretend? Am I going to complain and whine and cry? Or am I going to stand up and straighten out my back? I like the way Billy said that last week when he was giving us the Martin Luther King rendition. He said, straighten up your back, because the bent back, can't nobody, they walking all on you, but straighten up your back. We're going to straighten up our back, or we're going to dust off of us and keep on walking? Are we going to lift up our eyes to the hills and start developing a cheering attitude? Remember Pastor Toby told us about that winning season. Are we going to start cheering and say, Lord Jesus, it may be new to me, But it has always been a part of your plan. This new situation may be new to me, but it was always a part of your plan. Always a part of your plan. You know, saints, we're going to look at two players in our scripture readings today. Two players. Two trades that happened in the Bible. We have Esau and Saul. And Saul was the one that eventually became Paul. But Esau, I love his story because he was a twin and I'm a twin. So I know I understand how he feels. So you had Jacob and Esau, and Esau was the firstborn. Guess what? I was the firstborn. I was the firstborn twin. So Esau was the golden child. I remember feeling like that. I had a little up on Casey every once in a while. I don't know why they did that. We was only 2 minutes apart, but for some reason them 2 minutes matter. I was first, she was second. But saints, we realize that the whole world in the Israelite culture revolved around the firstborn son. There was something special about being that firstborn son. And we always know from all of our families, you don't have to be a twin. We all know what the firstborn means. You know, the firstborn and the baby usually get all the attention, and those in the middle kind of get left out sometimes. It's kind of hard when you're an only child or it's only two of you, but if you got more in your family, you get it, amen? So Esau, something special was about his life. He got the birthright. That meant he got double portions in the inheritance. He would become the spiritual leader of his household, and after his father died, that meant he would also inherit the covenant that God had given to Abraham and then to Isaac. So everything seemed to be great for Esau. See, Esau seemed to have everything right in his life. But, say but. Esau may have been just like all of us. We don't know how good we have it until we lose it. We don't know how good something is until it is gone. Our attitude sometimes can be a little high and mighty. That's what my sister told me about myself. You just think you so much better because you first. But we don't have to be first to think we're so much better, amen? All of us have had times in our lives when we think that we are the ones that are deserving of something special. That we are the golden children, and why should we have to work extra hard for anything that we do? Some of us, some things come real easily for us, amen? And we start to take things for granted. And you know, instead of appreciating our places of privilege, instead of saying, I should be really grateful for what I have, scripture tells us that Esau despised his blessing. He despised his blessing. Let's look at that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 34. Read this with me. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Isn't that interesting, saints, that we always have those of us who envy what other folks have. We always are looking at someone else's yard thinking, wow, I would love to have that life. Or sometimes they're looking at us thinking, wow, I would love to have that life. All of us remember Michael Jackson, right? Oh, yeah. I love Michael Jackson, but it was so interesting to me that Michael Jackson always wanted to have a normal childhood. Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking, all of us that had the normal childhood was wanting your childhood. And Esau was like that. He was always looking around wanting any life but the life that he had. And his brother Jacob was standing there the whole time looking like, I want your life. I want your life. You know, saints, I realize that when we are in a situation like that, when we are looking around thinking everybody's life is greater than ours, we become even more vulnerable to temptations. Those temptations come up again, saints, and we gotta be careful because they haunt us our entire lives. And Pastor Rick said last week, he told us, we can't handle temptations. There's no such thing as just a little bit. Walk away, run away, hide, do whatever we got to do to get away. But sometimes those temptations sneak up on us and we don't even realize that it was a temptation because it was so innocent. Let me show you how. You see, Esau and all his complaining, I don't like being the firstborn. I don't like having the birthright. I don't like it. I don't like it. Esau was weak and vulnerable. He didn't like his situation. He began complaining and moaning and groaning. And when he was out one day working real hard, saints, like we all work real hard, and he came home and he was tired and he was hungry. and he smelled this really good pot of stew. And he thought, ooh, that stew smells real good. I'd like to have some of that stew. And he thought, I'd give anything for a bowl of stew. And his brother Jacob was like, anything? Esau said, I'd give anything. Jacob said again, anything? What about that birthright? Saints, it's not a good idea to make decisions when you're hungry. Decisions when you hungry because you grumpy and you tired, you in a negative mood, and it will always, always, always be a bad idea. And Esau wasn't thinking too clearly because his stomach was so hungry. He was thinking, I'll give anything for a bowl of stew. And you might be sitting there thinking, how can anyone possibly give up so much, your inheritance, your birthright, everything for a bowl of stew? It probably wasn't even that good of a bowl of stew. But again, temptations can come from anywhere. You know, I started to bring in a box of Krispy Kreme donuts today. Started to set a bunch of Snicker bars and stuff out there on the table. A little double cheeseburger just to taunt us with the smell. And want us to know, you know, food is very tempting. Food can cause many of us to lose our minds. Food is the game changer, saints. We don't even realize it because it's so innocent. But look at Adam and Eve, saints. Look at Adam and Eve. They gave up everything. They were walking in the garden with God. And God said, just don't eat off that tree. That tree? Which tree? Don't eat off that tree. Ooh, that temptation was too hard for them, saints. And we don't ever think that a piece of food could be so tempting and cause so much destruction. And last week, Pastor Rick told us about the number one thing in our community that brings us down. He talked about sex bringing us down. Then he even mentioned politics and how our failure to stand up and make choices in our community is affecting us politically. And I'm going to add one more to that list. Food. Food is killing our community, saints. Who is it that's dying the fastest from high cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes? Because we don't want to control the temptations we have regarding food. So we can't look at food as something, oh, that's not that big a deal. It is a big deal, saints. So Esau gave it all up for a bowl of stew. He took a nosedive. He went from the top and he fell quickly to the bottom. And instead of being the golden child, he was now the child that seemed left behind. Esau was in a completely new situation. He was traded. He traded his entire fortune, his entire future for a bowl of stew. Isn't that interesting? Because some of us have been in the same situation. We've traded it all for something very small and meaningless that we don't even know where it is right now. He could not go back. He could not change it. He could not get it back at all. He was in a new situation. And I know many of us may be sitting there thinking, how is this fair? How is this fair? Why did one brother get and another brother did not in the first place? I know I would have asked that question. They both should have had it. Then he wouldn't have had to give his up. And a lot of folks struggle with that in Christianity. How can God give one but not the other? Why does this one have and this one does not have? Why did this one get this blessing and this one did not get this blessing? But it was a man named Mr. Spurgeon, and he was asked a question by a woman, and she said, how can God reject or hate some people? How can God not accept all of us? And Mr. Spurgeon turned back onto this woman. He said, it's real easy for me to understand how God could hate us and reject us, because we are a bunch of evil, conniving, sinning people. And then he said to us, it's really interesting, and it's harder for me to understand how could God love us. Knowing who we are, knowing how sinful we are, and that we all deserve God's condemnation, how could he look at us and say, I love you. I love you. You see, when Esau was looking at his situation, he realized immediately he traded down. And he knew that he was in a new situation, and he had some options before him. Amen. And Esau wasn't the first one, because I told you we were going to talk about Saul as well. Here's Saul. He is a person that thought he was working on behalf of God. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes, saints, we think we're doing God's work. And here he was killing Christians. He was a murderer. He was a rejecter of the people of the way, as they were called, before they were called Christians. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He was on top of the game, saints, in the Jewish world. He was a leader. He was looked at this strong man. He had everything. He even said it. He had everything. Then all of a sudden, Saul was walking on his way. He was actually going to kill some Christians, amen. And God stops him. God takes away his sight, and he has this vision. And he says, who is this? And Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? And from that moment on, Saul eventually became Paul, and he was traded. He went from being with the Jews to the people of the way. Now, if you look at Paul's situation, you could say he, from the Jewish perspective, traded down. Because he didn't necessarily want to be this new Christian leader. But if you look at it from the Christian's perspective, he traded up. He traded up. And in both the situations with Esau and Paul, both of these men could have stood around asking a bunch of questions. They could have been talking about, oh, this is so bad for me. Oh, this is so horrible. Why, God, did you do this to me? But they didn't look at all the questions. They realized we have some options here. We have some options. Esau could have kept saying, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't have no soup. I didn't have no stew. I'm just going to keep on pretending like I'm still the golden child here. Saul could have definitely kept pretending that he didn't meet Christ that day. He could have got up like, oh, I know I can't see, but I'm just going home. I didn't just have no encounter with Jesus. I'm going home. Help me out, brothers. Help me get home. He could have kept pretending. They both could have been complaining about why. But they both decided to call an audible. They both decided to say, I'm in a new situation. I cannot go back. That door is closed. I cannot reopen it. I'm going to forge ahead for this new plan. And they both said, this was a new plan to me, but it's not a new plan to God. And Esau and Paul both went on to be blessed by God. I love reading the genealogies in the Bible, saints. I used to skip them back in the day because I'm like, he began. I'm like, well, skip that chapter and go to the next one. But now I really read them thoroughly. And if we look, Jacob's lineage is listed, but Esau's lineage is also listed. You see, Esau went on to be blessed by God, just like his brother Jacob. And Esau, we learned last week from Pastor Rick, Esau had so much money that when his brother came home, instead of spilling over hatred and despising his brother, he said, I don't need your money. Come on back home. I don't need your money. So Esau and Saul were both traded. They both began new lives, new separate lives. They both began on new teams, new teams. And my question to you today, saints, is do you realize that you have been traded? Do you know that you have been traded? Some of us don't know that. But a long time ago, Adam and Eve, we already talked about it. Their sin caused the fall of humanity for all of us. Now, we didn't have any control of that. We didn't decide that. But because of their sin, all of us suffer. We are all on the team of the downfall. But Jesus, saints, Jesus looked at us. He looked at that playing field. He looked at that game field, and he says, I got a move to make. I got a move to make, and he says, their lives for mine. Your lives for his. And when he made that decision, we went from being on the team of downfall to the winning team. We traded up. We traded up, saints. You see, we didn't do anything to deserve for Jesus to make that sacrifice for us. We didn't do one thing. We didn't even have control over it. But Jesus made a decision that allowed us to trade up. Now, we can stand around, saints, with our options. We can pretend. We can keep pretending that we're on the other team. We can try to dress like them. We can try to act like them. We can try to be like them because it seems like their team is more cool than ours. We can complain and say, I just don't like this team of Christians. I don't like being on their team. Or we can call the audible. And we can realize that we're in a new situation. We cannot go back. We cannot get back to where we used to be, saints, as Christians. And although our plans may be new to us, they have never, ever, ever been new to God. And it's time for us to all start to take a step up. You see, what I learned about civil rights movement and black history and our struggle, saints, is that not only did we straighten up our backs, we took a step forward. We started walking. We started moving. And it's time to step things up, saints. It's time to get close to being on that winning team. And Pastor Toby's going to talk to us about it next week. What is it like to step up, to move forward, to press on, so that we can be on the winning team? Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so good and so mighty and so amazing, and many of us don't stop to take the time to just think about all the goodness that you have done for us. We often are so busy complaining and naysaying and thinking about all the things that are wrong with our situation instead of looking at what's right about our situation, what's good about our situation, and how you are in all of our situations, no matter where we find ourselves in this life, Lord Jesus. Help us this day to realize, Lord, that you made the greatest trade for all of us. You made the greatest trade when you looked down upon us and us as a sinful people and said, I will give my life so that you can have life and have it abundantly. Gracious God, help us to start rising up and taking that new step in the new direction toward you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done in our lives. And we give you all the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. The door of the church is open, saints. And as we rise to sing our invitation, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. We will pray that if you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ, that you would come up so and do so today. And if you need to just get prayer and get on the right direction with Jesus Christ, we pray that you will come up today as well. And our pastors and lay pastors will be praying for you. Yes.